Welcome to the Tortoise Ecofin Quick Take Podcast. Thank you for joining us as we provide timely updates on the market.
Thanks for joining us today on the Quick Take Podcast. I'm James Mick, Managing Director and Senior Portfolio Manager with Tortoise Ecofin. I would like to start by recognizing this past Saturday as the passing of two decades since the horrible events of 9/11/2001. In 2018, we took a family trip to New York City for spring break. While there, we visited the 9/11 Memorial and Museum. All I can say is, if you haven't been, that alone is worth the trip. It is incredibly moving and reinforces the sentiment, never forget. On a far lighter note, the NFL kicked off its season, and it was thrilling to see. The Chiefs are looking to make it three straight Super Bowls, so hopefully they can stay healthy and reclaim the Lombardi Trophy. A good start with a Week 1 win in the books. Moving to the markets, let's start things off with performance for the week that was. On the commodity front, crude oil was up marginally, with prices rising 62 basis points, while natural gas continued its surge, trending higher by 7.2%. Shifting to equities, the broader S&P Energy Select Sector Index finished in the red, lower by 1.7%. Exploration and production companies, as measured by the Tortoise North American Oil and Gas Producers Index, were also lower, down 1.4%. Utilities, per the Dow Jones Utility Index, underperformed as well, declining 1.6%. And finally, MLPs, as represented by the Tortoise MLP Index, were also weak, falling 2.5%. Circling back to commodities, natural gas managed to continue its recent surge. As Rob touched on last week, international prices remain exceptionally high. Low inventory levels in Europe are pushing prices higher to incentivize imports there. However, Asian prices have been higher still, with demand pulling shipments to the Far East, exacerbating the problem for Europe. LNG exports out of the U.S. are maxed out, but it is driving prices higher domestically as supply has not budged. The result was a front-month futures price that closed over $5 per MMBTU on Thursday, the first close over $5 that I could find since February of 2014. Keep in mind, it's only September, which is not supposed to elicit these types of prices. With a cold winter, we are almost assured of seeing higher prices, potentially in the double-digit range, albeit likely on a temporary basis. Enbridge Inc. delivered the only acquisition activity for the week with the announcement of the purchase of the Moda Midstream assets in the Gulf Coast. In the $3 billion acquisition, Enbridge acquires the largest crude oil export facility in the U.S. in Corpus Christi, Texas. There were some other assets as well, including a 20% interest in the Cactus II crude oil pipeline. In an interesting ESG spin, Enbridge plans to build a 60-megawatt solar farm next to the terminal to power the location, with the objective to be 100% net zero scope 1 and 2 emissions at the facility over time. On the energy transition front, Schlumberger announced its new energy team made an investment and collaboration agreement with Enervenue and its nickel hydrogen battery technology. Chevron was in the news several times, with three separate announcements, including a collaboration with Caterpillar on hydrogen, pursuit of sustainable aviation fuel with Gevo, and incremental CNG fueling stations with Mercuria. If you feel like you've heard us talk about Chevron and energy transition in this podcast before, you are exactly right. They have been incredibly active in this area, and we fully anticipate that continuing. Shifting gears, the producer price index was released for the month of August. It once again came in quite strong, up 0.7% versus expectations of a 0.6% increase. This brings the year-over-year change to positive 8.3%. You may be wondering, while that is interesting, why are you bringing up the PPI index? Well, it happens to be very key for pipelines, specifically those of the liquids variety, such as crude oil and refined product pipelines. Liquids pipelines, subject to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's index tariff system, are allowed to increase tariff rates annually by the change in the PPI plus a fixed constant. At present levels, pipeline tariffs would increase by over 9%. That's a pretty nice uptick that allows for solid growth in EBITDA by simply raising prices. The increase is meant to cover rising costs, but so far companies have stated costs are not increasing at the same rate as the revenues would rise. A nice tailwind for the sector, to be sure. Finally, I wanted to hit on capital allocation. Those two words are the buzzwords within energy, and more specifically, midstream. This past week, we had two companies that prioritized returning capital to shareholders in an all-of-the-above manner. We've talked in the past about Western Midstream returning capital to stakeholders by paying down debt, increasing distributions, and buying back stock. Enter two more companies into this club that we feel will grow in membership as we progress through the next 12 to 15 months. First up, Williams Companies. Having achieved balance sheet leverage metrics consistent with its targets, Williams announced a $1.5 billion stock buyback program on Wednesday. The program represents about 5% of the market cap of the company. Management intends to continue growing its dividend as well, hitting the trifecta of returning capital in a variety of forms. Next up was Cheniere Energy. Laying out a comprehensive plan of attack, Cheniere initiated a quarterly dividend with intentions to grow said dividend in the mid-single-digit range annually, guided to continued debt paydown, and resumed its share repurchase plan. Management outlined its goal to generate $10 billion of distributable cash flow through 2024, including a run rate DCF of $15 to $17 per share on a long-term basis. The $10 billion breaks down as roughly $4 billion for debt paydown, $1 billion in dividends, $1 billion in share repurchases, $2 billion to fund organic growth of the Corpus Christi Stage 3 expansion, leaving $2 billion unallocated for use in debt or share buybacks. These are just two more companies within midstream executing on a new mantra of returning capital to shareholders. It can't be said enough the complete 180-degree transition these companies have undergone. In total, we are now up to 17 midstream companies with stock buyback programs, a number that is almost certain to continue to grow as we embark on 2022. With that, have a great week, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for our next episode. Have topics you want covered or other feedback to share? Write us at info@tortoiseecofin.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. All statements other than statements of historical fact included herein are forward-looking statements. Although we believe that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects our views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intention. Discussion or analysis of any specific company-related news or investment sectors are meant primarily as a result of recent newsworthy events surrounding those companies or by way of providing updates on certain sectors of the market. Through our family of registered investment advisors, we provide investment advice to related funds and others that includes investment into those sectors or companies discussed in these podcasts. As a result, we stand to beneficially profit from any rise in value from many of the companies mentioned herein, including companies within the investment sectors broadly discussed.